You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
A long-awaited IRD report on the ultra-wealthy and their real tax rate was released yesterday by Revenue Minister David Parker. It shows the top 300 families in Aotearoa only pay a 7% tax rate, half of what median earners pay. I spoke to inequity researcher Max Rashbrook about this new report, starting by asking him why this gulf exists.
Well, so basically, what the report has identified is that if you're one of New Zealand's very wealthiest people, and they looked at the 311 wealthiest families, the vast bulk of your income is capital gains. You know, only about 17% of the income for that group is what we would sort of call normal income, you know, wages and salaries and income that comes through trusts. The rest of it is capital gains. And because capital gains are virtually untaxed in New Zealand, these people really aren't paying tax to any great extent on the vast bulk of their income. And so, and that's a huge difference to ordinary New Zealanders, people who earn wages and salaries, who pay tax on every single cent of that.
Why wouldn't this fall under the bright line test?
So the bright line test is effectively a tax, but it is only one that captures the capital gains that are made on investment properties that are sold within a period of 10 years. So that's only a fraction of all the capital gains out there. There's a vast amount of capital gains that is never going to be caught by the bright line test because it's not to do with investment property or it's held for longer than 10 years or whatever. So the bright line test is a very long way away from a proper capital gains tax.
How much tax revenue is being lost out by not effectively taxing this proportion of the population?
So there isn't a precise figure on that in the report, but it's pretty obvious that it's huge, right? So, I mean, this group of people who studied paid something like $500 million in tax, which, you know, sounds like a lot, but obviously that's only about 9% of their income. So you can pretty quickly see that if they, you know, paid tax on that income effectively at, say, 30%, which is, you know, what a high income earner would pay on their top income, you know, you'd be getting potentially another $1 billion a year out of this group. So I think, you know, certainly over a period of time, you're looking at billions of dollars in tax revenue that's lost because we don't tax the capital gains of these people. And you also have to remember that this is only the 311 wealthiest people in New Zealand. They're the 0.01%. You know, if we expand that out to, say, the top 1%, which is not sort of 400-odd people, but 40,000 people, the top 1%, and you think about the capital gains that aren't being taxed there, I mean, you're probably talking about, you might be talking about billions of dollars every year that we are missing out on in revenue.
Revenue Minister David Parker has refused to speak on potential new tax policies. What tax options would Cabinet have at their disposal to reduce this gap?
Well, I mean, in theory, they've got any number of options. You know, some people like the top party pushing for a land value tax, you know, so what, taxing the value of land, as it suggests. The Green Party, you know, a long time been pushing for a wealth tax. So you just tax, you know, 1% of the value of people's wealth that's held over $5 million. So there's all kinds of options. The most obvious option in this context would be a capital gains tax because, you know, what has been shown is that the discrepancy is down to people not paying tax on their capital gains. So the logical solution to that is a capital gains tax. That's all fine in theory. In practice, obviously, Labor tried to introduce a capital gains tax in 2018-2019, made a real hash of it, lost the argument and are quite scarred by that. So whether they actually want to go back to that discussion is unclear, and I personally think relatively unlikely.
If we look at countries overseas like Australia that have introduced capital gains tax, what can we learn from those policies and their introduction?
I think the main thing that's been learned is that you absolutely can do a capital gains tax and it's not that complicated. You know, people will always say, and we're getting, you know, our tax advisors saying it in the last day or so, oh, it's all terribly complicated. What about this problem? What about that problem? How do you deal with this particular niche thing? Those are all things that can be dealt with because New Zealand aside, virtually every developed country has a capital gains tax. Australia has a capital gains tax. The US has a capital gains tax. The UK has a capital gains tax. You know, these very free market, you know, conservative, individualistic countries, particularly the US, have capital gains taxes, and they make them work. So whatever issues come up in the implementation, they will just be things that other countries have dealt with time and again, found solutions for decades. It's all totally doable.
That was Max Rashbrook on the new IRD ultra-wealthy tax report. We can also report in breaking news, Chris Hipkins has just announced at a speech in Tamaki Makaurau that Cabinet will not introduce any major tax changes like a wealth tax or a capital gains tax for this budget.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.